We're live.
We're live right now. Wow. Listen, welcome back, everybody, because my goodness, it's been... I don't even want to try to calculate how long it's been since we've been on here. Also, my headphones. I got no headphones. Or quiet headphones, maybe? Yeah, my own voice is quiet. The music is not quiet. My voice is quiet, though. Am I back now? Check, check, one, two. I'm there. I don't know. Everybody can let me know. But yeah, we're back. We're bringing the show back live. I think I can still have some more headphones there, Will, if you don't mind. And probably some sort of drink, because I've been clearing my throat all morning somehow. Yeah, that's getting closer. You're almost there. And that's better. Oh my God, dude, that's a huge difference right there. You've all nailed good. It. I don't want to get you flustered or anything, all Will, because I saw you leaning over there and it was a whole...
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It was quite a deal. I think it was mostly just my headphones and not the... nothing to do with the way it sounded on the other end, which is good because people say I sound okay. Yeah, I need a visit from Mr. Tim Horton or something like that, or Mr. Starbuck or something like that, because truth be told, I've been clearing my throat. Well, I don't know. It's like this entire season, and I told you this before, it's like a week on, week off. You always got something in your throat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's this time of year.
Stuff is floating around.
I don't know if stuff is floating around.
Ugh.
I don't know who knows something. I don't know. All I know is there's a spike proteins floating around.
Oh, the show is canceled by YouTube.
Is that right? Is it, even that is enough? Just those two words combined is enough to get you going. I'm not sure. Yeah, so anyway, I feel the need to sort of like clarify a few things going on here. Some people that do like long form stuff, they call it housekeeping. Well, I don't want to call it that because that always bugged me, because I'm like, who the hell wants to do housekeeping ever? You know, like I'm sick of hearing that. A few housekeeping things for before today's show. I would like to talk to our Patreon members first.
Oh, God. They have a list?
No, but seriously, so some people are like, okay, so the show, is it recorded? Is it live? Whatever. It's live. We're going back to live. You understand, Will? And we're going to have a system for this live. And I know people say things on the internet, and then sometimes they happen, they don't happen. No, Will, it's live. You understand? I'm putting it on the record.
On wax.
Yeah, this is a live show. It's at its best when it's a live show. It's dynamic. Things are happening, developing. This is at its best when it's live. So it's going to be live, and it's going to be live at noon. You understand? It's going to be live at noon on the Eastern Seaboard, ladies and gentlemen. 600 feet below the Earth's crust is where we like to broadcast from. But through the power of the internet, you're capable of interacting with us now on a daily basis. Around noon live.
Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, it's part of the part of the deal. All right? It's part of the combo. It's part of the extra value meal.
Yeah.
It's part of the... What do they call it? What do they call it when you... They have the different picks that are like only $1.39 or something. What do they call that? Is that extra value?
Extra value meal.
Is that extra value meal?
Yeah.
See, you know about these things. I don't know. Sometimes I forget about these things. But you,
or like a dollar menu?
It could be a dollar menu.
Sure.
Is what it could be. And
now
so,
not so much. I think it's like $2.
So we're going to be up inside of you, much like a dollar menu item.
God.
You understand? And that's a daily basis. And I'm looking forward to it because I kind of miss what we had going on in the past with the... expectations the community could rely on us, Will, and we've let them down.
Yeah.
You understand that?
We did.
We've let them down. And life gets going, and it'll disturb you and disrupt you. And
for sure.
And a lot of stuff going on around here, reconfigurations in order to give us the capability to really prioritize on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just so you all know, that's a prioritization now, and it's going to be live, and it's going to be noon, and
I'll be chatting.
It's going to be daily. Oh, yes, that's the piece I wanted to add. because, and thank you for the super chats, by the way, man. I totally forgot about all that stuff, but we do appreciate it, and it keeps us going, keeps us moving. We are going to make it easier to interact with these live shows by actually putting the live feed up early. And what that's going to allow for is for you to get the notification, not come in part way. You get a notification, hopefully, if you put the notifications on somewhere around half hour, 45 minutes before the show goes live. And we'll figure out what a placeholder looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's going to let you congregate or leave it open or whatever. So then you're kind of ready to go when the thing is actually live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means that for the show, when it's no longer live and it's recorded and just sitting there on YouTube, you might have to skip ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay with us. That's cool. You don't have to sit through the wait session. But the wait session is going to be kind of cool too, because Will's going to be there, and it's your moment where you can ask Will whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because he's in the chat.
Bring me your comments as well.
Yeah, and suggestions.
Negative or otherwise.
But, and also, Will, here's the beauty of the pre-show. People are going to go in the chat and they're going to tell you what we should be talking about today. And if there's some like breaking thing or some story that didn't find itself in front of you or something like that, you're going to be able to still integrate it at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited.
So it's kind of a choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, for those that are the members in the community that are like sort of deeper in the community, you can get there a little bit early and interact with Will and influence the show. If that sounds good to you. And thank you for all these super chats. Yeah, the community's back, you understand?
Appreciate it.
Community's back, you understand? So anyway, I think that kind of covers the preamble that I feel like mentioning. And so the goal here is to be more frequent. Please keep watching clips as well. That stuff's going well over there. So all the support is much appreciated. And in 2023, we have a renewed focus on this show to do it the right way.
Yes.
And with respect for the audience and expectations, and people can play this clip back when I miss a day now or something, or I'm at a hockey tournament and
it's going to haunt you.
This man talking about responsibility and this and that. But anyway, listen, we're here in a new way, new and improved 2023 version, Lou, later. Apple has reportedly canceled the next iPhone SE. Ooh, top story, RIP. iPhone SE. I know some people really like this device, and they certainly like the price point on this device, most importantly. But also, it was some people that had nostalgia for the old form factor of phones, the old sizing of phones, Will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have a 4.7-inch display on there. You still... it was... you know what? It was a little bit polarizing, because some people hate it. They say, you pay that much money for that phone in 2020, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a weird combination, because it did some things really well. While you had competitors in the Android space prioritizing things like screen size or resolution or other specifications, that like hardware-based specifications, you had on the Apple side, they said, no, you're going to get the latest software on our budget device. You're going to get the close to the fastest chip on our latest device. Which on a lower resolution display meant you had a really high performing phone at a budget price, but missing possibly some of the pieces that you might associate with a modern phone. So it was kind of an odd play for them. But then I think there was this other customer that was just maybe an older customer who was comfortable with the form factor of previous generation phones. They'd gotten really used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these new phones felt too big or too elaborate. And then that could have been an SE customer also. And it also was kind of a testament to software, considering what people were able to do with the camera performance and such, even though the hardware wasn't necessarily top notch. What this does is create an opening for a new budget model. I think Apple has to have a budget model in 2024.
Mm.
By the way, this is leading into 2024, this report. No new iPhone SE in 2024, according to Ming-Chi. It creates a new opportunity to look at the budget model in a new way and say, what is that? What do most people want? And it's kind of experimental, because you had previously the iPhone Mini,
mm-hmm.
which they no, nobody bought it. Okay, get rid of it. Then this year, you had the Plus model, And we've already got reports that they don't want that one either. So it creates a new opportunity for possibly an entirely new thing. I don't know if that works from an assembly line perspective. But maybe you take the Mini, you revamp some things ever so slightly to bring the price down, and maybe the Mini isn't dead. Maybe it's reborn in some new version or some new SE-like device. Maybe it becomes the budget model. That's just a thought. I'm just putting that out there. I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I sure as hell ain't no Ming Chi, which you already know. Apple plans to drop key Broadcom chip to use in-house design. The company is also swapping out Qualcomm for a homegrown modem. Well, we saw this happen with Silicon, right? They said, Intel, we don't need you. Get out. Why are we lining your pockets? We can do it ourselves. And they did. They did it in a way that kind of was mind-blowing, and they did it at a pace that was kind of mind-blowing. Now, this is a little different compatibility stuff. I've done tests in the past on the channel. Broadcom, Qualcomm, and even Intel modems at one point on mobile devices in an attempt to see performance differences. This is all extremely varied depending upon your local configuration around networks and so forth. But I'm honestly not surprised this was a missing piece for them. Apple's push to replace the chips inside its devices with homegrown components will include dropping a key Broadcom part in 2025, according to people familiar with the situation. Those are the people we need to be talking to. As part of the shift, Apple also aims to ready its first cellular modem chip by the end of 2024 or early 2025, letting it swap out electronics from Qualcomm Inc. These people asked to not be identified, those giving us this information, by the way. Apple had previously expected to replace Qualcomm part as soon as this year, but development snags have pushed back the timeline. I would just hope that we can see similar performance to what we were capable of receiving, similar reliability and so forth, when Apple goes to do it itself. But just based on the track record with Silicon and the skepticism around that when the whole project started, and their ability to execute there, I presume at their scale with their talent that they can, maybe it'll take a couple generations, I don't know, to be at the same level. And
but it'll get there eventually.
Well, I don't know.
No.
I mean, we don't know for certain, but I think that if there was a company that we could probably have some confidence in, it would maybe be this company, as long as it doesn't have to do with wireless charging. I don't know if they're ever going to go back and do that again. I'm talking about air power. Tesla's doing that instead. We made the video, the clip.
Sure.
Tesla just did what Apple couldn't or wouldn't or whatever the hell you titled it. But people love that. I think people still want some device. So even Apple may revisit that in the meantime at some point, 2024, 2025. Who knows? What about the Apple car? Where's that? Apple rolls out AI narrated audiobooks. And it's probably the start of a trend. This audiobook features Madison, a digital voice based on a human narrator. AI narrated. So what? That's like Siri, basically, but like a different voice? Apple's digital storefronts now offer audiobooks recorded by artificial narrators. I see. So it's not reading out the text in real time, but instead it's been pre-recorded so they can vet it and be like, yeah, that sounds good. Instead of humans in a sound booth, the audiobooks are listed in the Books app as narrated by Apple Books. Clicking on the information icon next to the line brings up a text box that clarifies the book is narrated by a digital voice based on a human narrator. Ooh, so they're training it based on the human voice, and then they're like, hey, we don't need a human to read it. I highly doubt it's going to have the same degree of nuance, but I'm curious to actually check it out.
But apparently it's grueling for the reader. They have to be stuck in a booth for like, you know, eight hours and just read.
Oh, you mean in a typical scenario?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of times people prefer when the author of the book narrates.
I completely agree.
It seems so much more personal. And however, I will say there have been circumstances where for whatever reason, your ears are just not jiving with a particular voice.
Sure.
And you
imagine changing it?
Well, you can.
book?
You can. Yeah. You imagine you could flip between the actual narrator and then voices like Madison or Jackson.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan of Jackson, actually. Yeah. Yeah, he's just, he tickles my eardrums in a certain way.
I want Homer Simpson.
That artificial.
Can you give me that?
That AI right there. Okay, so over on Ars Technica, just scroll up a little bit there, Will. They listened to about an hour of the digitally narrated titles. The calm tones were clear and mostly benign, and they could be mistaken for real human voices with a short list, and we did hear some anomalies, though. For example, an odd pronunciation of the city San Antonio. See, this is the trouble with the AI approach is you're supposed to kind of get lost in this book.
Uh-huh.
And if you ever hit this moment where something is mispronounced, it could kind of jog you out of it. It all depends. Like, I'm one of these guys, I watch a movie and then there's something that'll be off, or like there'll be somebody will leave a Starbucks cup, you know, like the Game of Thrones moment or whatever
it
is.
You can't leave it behind. It's always stuck in
your head. Then it's just pinging my mind because I'm just, I only see actors and it's a really fragile and sensitive thing, the imagination and the ability to suspend. So anyway, it's pretty cool. This is a cool idea. Is Tesla already giving up on the idea of yoke steering? Already giving up? I don't know if they're giving up, but they're certainly changing their approach. And that's because they are now offering a retrofit at the Tesla service center to go in, pay $700, or I guess this is Canadian funds over here. Or is that? Yeah, that's Canadian.
It's Canadian.
I think it's around 700 US or 960 Canadian. Can you go back actually to the Tesla page that you have open? Available March 2023. Okay. So they're not doing it quite yet, at least in Canada. Travel in luxury, enjoy the warmth of a heated wheel and the touch of premium vegan leather in a traditional form factor, no stocks or shifter, compatible with S and X vehicles configured with the yoke steering wheel. So it's essentially targeting the group that has the yoke and saying, don't you really want a wheel? Aren't you missing that that steering wheel?
Yeah.
The other thing that exists now is the option to add it as you build out your Model S as an actual like line item configuration.
Does it cost less?
On the S or X, I think it's interchangeable. You just pick which one you want.
Okay.
Now, other companies were kind of inspired by this yoke. Companies like Lexus, we saw them goofing around with a yoke, Toyota. Who knows long term? Now, granted, Lexus's yoke is a little bit more wheel like, maybe, arguably. Let me just tell you, as a yoke man,
okay,
over the last little while, I probably have 7,000 or 8,000 kilometers on that yoke. A couple of things. I'm going to get real with you for a moment here. Whatever this vegan leather like substance is that's on there,
it's not your thing.
It's not as durable as leather. I'm going to tell you that right now. And because the yoke, and I'm going like really weird with it, because there are things I really like about the yoke. Mm-hmm. For example, it opens up your display when you are using FSD, right? Mm. You have nothing, no obstruction. You just have the road, your display, and you're barely touching it anyways.
Mm.
So like there's some things I really like about it. Plus it feels futuristic. It's a really nice place to rest your hands. Obviously in and out of the parking lot, it's inferior. Right, you have this big flat bottom. It's inferior to a wheel in and out the parking lot, but other places it's superior, in my opinion. Like on the open road with FSD going.
Hmm.
But do you see that little corner there, on the left hand side, right, like in the bottom left corner, right there? It creates a right angle, and what ends up happening is you hit it frequently. Your pants will rub against it.
Hmm.
When you get in and out of the car. Now, I know you can fix this. You can elevate it. You can have your seat push back. But inevitably, I end up needing to get in and out the car, hitting it, and then it wears off. The vegan leather stuff is not really up for getting rubbed.
It's that bad.
That way.
Your thunder thighs?
And I have 7,000 KMs. But if you were to do a quick Google search on yoke, vegan steering, wearing, or yeah, just do that. Try that. There you go. Look at that. No, no. Click on the other one right there.
Oh, right here.
That right there. Exactly.
That's
like that.
That's your problem right here.
Exactly. And some people, they were like, well, do you put lotion on your hands or I have no issues or whatever it might be. So I don't know. It probably depends on the clothing you're wearing, the way your body is structured, how you get in and out, how careful you are. So I'll take some of the blame. But when you have a wheel, you don't have that rigid edge to hit. Mm. I would personally stick with the yoke, but I would just like to have a genuine leather, and you can actually order it aftermarket. So if I change steering wheels, it's going to be for a leather-wrapped version of the yoke.
Got it.
But I totally understand if you just go for the wheel at this point as well, which they're apparently making easier to do. Mm. Watch the shocking moment when a self-driving Tesla causes a huge crash, injuring people. This was going viral on Twitter. I don't know where you saw it, if you saw it on Twitter or elsewhere.
I saw it on Twitter.
It had like tens of millions of views, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And it's because often, people have a lot of questions about this. And any new technology, as you know, Will, is going to be subject to scrutiny, which is fine and which is actually right. That is the kind of way we should be looking at this stuff. But it's not often that you get a clip of a type of collision like this, where a security camera captures the anomaly, because obviously this is not happening all the time, but it captures the anomaly well, and then it acts as sort of a forum for anyone who's had this experience to go and comment underneath the clip. So you can see it breaks abruptly. This is not the point that you want to be doing this or having this happen, and it causes a pileup, which injures 9 people, including a 2-year-old child. Not ideal. Now, people in the comment section have all kinds of theories as to what's going on. And others have suggested that it has something to do with being in this tunnel or this underpass. That this creates some kind of weird havoc, maybe reflection, lighting change. Like, I don't know. But others in there have suggested that they have a similar thing take place. Not all the time, but in this type of scenario.
Look how many cars. Oh,
it's an ugly one. Now, all collisions considered, potential collisions considered, 9 injured is terrible, but it's not like a high speed head on type scenario. However, it would be a very scary experience for the passenger in the vehicle, as it's in FSD or autopilot. It would be a weird experience, an unnerving experience, to the point where you might not use the feature, right? You're all smashed up over there. And even for those of us that have the feature enabled, but are watching a clip like this and going, okay, I don't want to be any part of that.
The blinkers were on too, just to indicate.
Yeah. So why is the blinker on? The person obviously noticed.
Is it trying to pull over?
Well, I think the person noticed it was braking. And then hits hey, Will, can you lower the fader on the desktop audio, if you don't mind?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe my ears are more sensitive than yours. But anyway, maybe the person wasn't actively braking and they panicked. Like, why is the car braking? Does it see something I don't? And so they hit the blinker, maybe. Is the whole thing a scam? And maybe the person fell asleep or something? By the way, these are not... I'm just out here brainstorming at the moment, but you know it's going to be Elon analysis and commentary and whatever else. So I don't know. It's still a new technology. Let's not get carried away. It's certainly not full self-driving, and there's enough evidence of that, and you need to be monitoring it. And if it does do something like this, I presume the override here is to hit the accelerator to essentially override the braking. Or maybe even just click off FSD in that scenario. But it's, yeah, I don't know. It's so tough. It's such a new technology. People have so many questions and so much skepticism around it that these clips like this, they really do damage to people's confidence level.
For sure.
No doubt.
Sure.
But I think that's a little bit unfair. In the look, I realize 9 injured, whatever. You're involved in it. You're like, no, it's not unfair at all, okay? I got all screwed up that day because
almost
of the
died.
Thing. But I think when you look at the big picture, big numbers, the future and everything and so forth, Will, that might change your perspective ever so slightly.
Got it.
Using the PS5 vertically can reportedly damage the console permanently due to a design flaw by Sony.
Did you hear about this?
Damn, Will, why you gotta keep scaring me with all these clips? First of all, my Tesla's braking on its own, causing a collision with, like, injuring nine, and now my PlayStation is in the wrong orientation?
Yeah.
Yikes. Using a PS5 vertically is wrong? What? But they put the stand out, but they told me I could do it. Sony officials and numerous tech websites have said that it doesn't matter which way the PS5 is used. A number of hardware experts and console retail shops 2 years after launch have found that using it vertically can damage the system permanently. The problem lies with the fact that the liquid metal used to cool the APU is prone to spilling and becoming uneven, which impacts the cooling. The owner of I Love My Console, a retail shop in France, has been trying to raise this issue to a wider audience for months now, claiming that the problem is not an isolated issue. So here we have an image of a board inside of a PS5. And the caption on the tweet from @68logic, do not put your PS5 upright. Here's the result of the liquid moves and freeze, and the freezes are there. Hmm. So I guess what, just the chip heats up and then it seeps a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't return to its original position because of gravity?
I guess so, yeah.
Have you always been somewhat skeptical of using it upright? I don't know, but...
No, not at all. But, I mean, there is a risk there. I guess if it's really, really hot in the room...
But it would have to be... It would have to be hotter than, like, a PC equivalent, because the vast majority of motherboards are in the upright position.
Yeah.
And there's all type of thermal material there as well. So... Would it be a flaw in... Is it more heat? Is it a flaw in the material that they're using to achieve that?
Mm.
Or is it just strictly gravity? He claims it's a high risk for PS5s that are being used vertically for a lengthy period of time. It isn't limited to one model. The problem lies with the PS5 seal between the APU and its cooler. So maybe this is a... If it does turn out to be a widespread issue, maybe there is a way to reconfigure that so you can still, so the PlayStation 5 design remains and they can continue to encourage the upright use. But here's a question for you, Will.
Mm.
What percentage do you think are upright in people's homes and what percentage do you think are down?
I think it's the majority is upright.
Interesting. I was going to say the opposite, just really? Based on the way home furniture is.
Oh, okay.
You don't always have a good spot to put it upright without it being in the way.
Yeah, I would imagine it being on like a desk or right beside a TV or something.
Yeah, but like
vertically, but
if you have furniture which has like traditional spacing for your AV equipment. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe people can weigh in. If anybody has a PS5, do you keep it upright or down?
And does it still work?
And if you read something like this, would you consider putting it down instead of keeping it upright?
Yeah.
Sony and Honda just announced their new electric car brand, Afila.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it reminds me of, remember the shoe company Fila? But F-I-L-A?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm having a hard time getting into it. The two companies' joint venture aim to have an EV ready for the North American market by 2026. I am a Sony fan and a Honda fan.
Yeah.
So
this is perfect for you.
So I'm like, okay.
It's not the name.
I'm like, okay, this is cool. Why didn't they just combine Sony and Honda and call it Sonda?
Shonda?
That's right. Or what would be the alternative? Shani. Honey. Oh, honey.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
I mean, it is a word that is recognizable. In other words, you're not going to overlook it. You're going to look at that and go, okay, that is something new. I haven't seen those sounds like that before. Sony and Honda's joint mobility venture unveiled a new EV prototype called Afila. Oh, so it won't. It's not the brand? Is it the brand or the model? Interesting. Afila. During Sony's presentation at CES in Las Vegas Wednesday, the brand will appear on the joint venture's first production electric car set to go on sale in North America 2026. Much is still unknown about the new brand. Okay, so it is a brand. The car would leverage Sony's experience with AI, entertainment, virtual reality, and augmented reality to present a unique EV. Well, listen, we recently had the update which enabled Steam gaming inside of a Tesla. you can imagine PlayStation-like integration inside of your Aphila. You know what? Maybe it's growing on me, Will. I just said it there. I said it faster, which made it feel a little more okay. Aphila. Come check out my new Aphila.
There's a flow to
it. Is it growing on you at all? Like a little bit, sure. Tiny bit? You're a fan of those wheels. You love aero-type wheels.
Yeah, more of like the flat wheel.
You're all about range. You have lots of range anxiety.
Yeah. I'd like it.
The prototype, or do you just like the look of it?
I do.
But you like the look and the function.
I feel it.
I'm out of here.
Oh, gosh.
See you later.
That was terrible.
Prototype unveiled on stage looked a little like the concept first revealed by Sony at CES 3 years ago. Damn, was that 3 years ago? Will, you are 147 years old.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Instead, this was a sedan with a light bar across the front, a closed-off grille. Yep. Black roof. Yeah, they did the two-tone effect with it. I don't mind it. Like, I am just so curious. This whole space, Will, excites me. The whole space. Mm-hmm. All of it. The new brands, they went with the yoke as well. Hopefully it's real leather or something more durable than whatever. I just think what Tesla did on their yoke, it was just too thin. That's all. Like, you can probably use their synthetic material, but I just need a thicker substance on there, Will, or a different adhesion.
Got it.
Why am I going back? You see, I'm so irritated by it. I really don't want to do this swap out, and this stuff keeps
me up. Go for the circular.
Keeps me up at night here,
Will.
Just do it. All the way to the circular. But I feel less futuristic. What about my spaceship, Will?
Nah, don't worry
about it. I have to fly my spaceship, Will.
That's all right.
I paid good money for my spaceship, Will. Oh, damn. This thing looks mean and cool and ambitious. And I'm like, are they really making? Like, it just seems for sure Stellantis or what used to be Chrysler and what includes Dodge and Ram. They're bananas over there. Because you remember you saw the Challenger EV, which I guess it had a different name. I can't even remember it now. And they're like, yeah, it's going to still have a sound to it. And it's going to be ported through something that's sort of like an exhaust. We're going to tune it and amp up an actual electric sound. They're crazy over there, but crazy in a good way. Because there's no shortage of entertainment. Some people will say it's tacky and some people will say it's not for me. But that's fine because you know where I'm at, Will. I like options and I like fun, and this thing looks fun. It looks futuristic and fun, and you're not going to misconstrue it for a gas-powered truck. Now, on the flip side, you have what Ford did with the Lightning, and they said, yeah, you're going to misconstrue it for a regular truck, and that's why you're going to like it, because it just blends in. This one, on the other hand, not blending in. This is the one that people want to shout immediately to the world. I am in the future. I am EV. I saw they're talking about, Will, they were talking about a 7-seat option for this thing.
Wow.
So you would actually have little tiny bucket seats behind the main seats.
Okay.
That you would be able to open up the bed, I think, as well. I think this is a feature they showed off in there, like the between the cab and the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Man, vehicles are just...
With the glass
roof. It's the most exciting product segment at the moment.
So cool.
Try to convince me otherwise, Will.
I can't.
You can't convince me otherwise.
Unless
you
see, it's a flying car.
All types of heads-up display, massive main multimedia display in there. Yeah, this is what I was talking about. Look at that. Will, go back. Look at this. Because I get excited about truck stuff. I mean, I like tech stuff, and I like EV stuff, and I like acceleration stuff and car stuff, but I get excited by truck stuff. And that right there, that clip you just showed, that's truck stuff.
Yeah.
And you sort of know about it because you went Mr. Bronco, you sort of went Mr. Bronco,
sure.
But then you didn't really go Mr. Bronco because you made the video and you said, well, I'm not really a Bronco. I'm more of a Model 3. Like,
hey,
that's what. Look at the extending bed up to 18 feet. Look at the truck stuff. Look at the bucket seats. Look at the folding and flapping and the screens, Will. Get excited, Will.
Jeez. Okay.
I want you to put your order in right now. And I want you to.
How much does this cost?
Get your order in. You understand?
Give me something.
Yeah. Gracious. 18 foot of cargo. With the barn doors on the back and all the seats folding down, this thing is mean and green. It's mean and green.
Oh, God.
I don't know how green. I don't know if it's green or not. They got a kayak in there. They got surfboards and all the digital things that you want. Look, the product doesn't exist yet. It's in this prototype concept mode. But I think you can tell the excitement is there from me. I would love to check one of these babies out. Oh, my goodness gracious. We made it to the end. Thank you very much to everybody that joined here today. Really, we owe you guys. And we're going to deliver because everything is changing around here. The prioritization sequence. Will's going to hold me to it. I promise you that, because he's going to be live before noon every day. Rolling. He's going to be messaging saying, hey, man, where the hell are you? And you guys are going to be in there piling up and you're going to be saying, where the hell are you? Let's go. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go. That's what we're going to do. Thank you very much. Once again, everybody, thank you for the super chats as well. It's been too long with the live stuff. Community's back. Listen to this. See you tomorrow. Yeah, you didn't.
That sounded nice.
Yeah, you didn't plan for it. See you tomorrow. Later, guys.